on KLYT. This is ABQ Connect.
Hey, thanks for listening to ABQ Connect. Appreciate the time. And listen, as a reminder, you know, and the Charlie Kirk may come up in this next segment or two, but there might be a volume on that to. Okay, so Charlie Kirk may come up in the discussion, but we're going to try to take the next couple segments to put our focus on 9/11 and remembering, which we do every year. In studio with us, Vince Harrison, a former APD officer here in Albuquerque, a detective, and Mark Chavez, Mark with the Albuquerque Fire Department. Both of you are quote unquote retired, but what I see from you guys is, you know, you may be like me. I don't know. I don't find the word retired in the Bible.
Right.
you guys are both busy doing the Lord's work. How many years are you guys retired now?
Well, for me, Steve, it'll be 20 years this December.
Yeah. And Vince?
16 today.
Pull that right up to you.
September 11th today was 16 years. I retired 16 years ago on September 11th. Okay.
Well, I wanted to bring these guys in because I knew you guys 24 years ago, and I consider your family. 24 years ago, we were all experiencing shock at the events happening in New York and Washington, D.C. and Pennsylvania. And, you know, actually this radio station went from our regular programming to solid news from Salem News outlet. And we were just airing news for at least 24 to 48 hours, you know, over that, Tuesday and Wednesday, it would have been the 11th. Mm-hmm. And then shortly after the attacks in all those places I just mentioned, a team from Calvary Church Albuquerque went to Ground Zero, and it may be larger than this, but I know you guys were part of that. Jennifer Santiago, who's part of Reload Love now here on the campus of Calvary Church Albuquerque, and Skip Heitzig went, I believe, to work with Franklin Graham to pray with people and minister to people there. But I wasn't there, so that's why I bring you guys here. Walk us through, after, I guess, more post 9/11, in those days following, what you guys experienced.
Well, for me, Steve, I was at work that morning when 9/11 happened. And of course, it was a shocker to all of us sitting there in the firehouse. The following morning, I got off shift, and everything was really crazy, watching the news every day, and the threat of anthrax got really real. But things started dying down a little bit. But interesting things started happening as people started flying the American flag.
Yeah.
Churches started filling up.
Yeah.
We had kids come into the fire station, bringing their piggy bank, saying, hey, we want to donate to the cause, you know, to help New York. It was very touching. And of course, then
Hearts changed in the midst of disaster.
Very, very quickly changed. And people had a very patriotic outlook on this, like, we can't let this happen to us.
Yeah. So how did you guys end up at Ground Zero? I mean, what happened here to facilitate, hey, let's pack up and let's have this team go?
Yeah, it was Skip had gone a couple weeks prior to us leaving, and I think we went in the first week of October, I believe. And there was still, you know, there was the sense of community and patriotism was heightened. I remember that day when it happened. I was at the police academy. We were doing some training, and they stopped the training at the academy, and everybody got around the TV and, like, what is going on? Did a little plane, it looked like a little prop plane, had flown to the World Trade Center, but then we realized it was a commercial airliner. And then when the second one went in, we said we're under attack. And I remember going into Alpha Bravo status, which means 12-hour shifts. And then everybody got in the cars and drove off, and it was just a surreal. But that day they had a service at Calvary at noon. I don't know if you remember that. They had a service, the doors open, people were flooding in and coming and praying. And then they had a service at night, and then the church was packed for weeks and months after that, right? And so I think today, and I appreciate Calvary doing this, Kankakee doing this, we have we can't let ever never forget. We can't let this forget. It's been 24 years.
Yeah.
On some,
you know, I kind of have a feeling next year, you know, being 25th. Yeah,
yeah.
There, you know, I mean, the media may be more dialed in. You know, it's a landmark date, you know, 25 years. But you, like I, you know, and you and I have had these conversations, Vince, and off the air, we were just talking about, you mentioned it. And yeah, I go back to, actually, this year I was trying to find documentaries I have not seen.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have some pretty regular documentaries I go back to that bring me back to that time, and bring me back to just a lot of those memories. And for me, it's probably multifold, but I don't want to forget the people who were working in the towers or working in the Pentagon or on the planes. Not only not to forget them, but I mean, they are where they're going to be for eternity.
Yeah.
You know, as of September 11th, 2001. But there's those that are left, you know, and their families. Yeah. And you, Vince, I mean, you're wearing one of the Mercy Bands that came out. Back then, and each of those Mercy Bands, for those that don't know, they're worn on your wrist, and they have the name of either what someone from the towers or the Pentagon or the planes.
Yeah.
That you would, you know, for you, Vince, I mean, and I think you don't take that off, do you?
I've lost it once in 24 years.
Yeah.
And I found it.
But so it's a daily reminder.
Yep.
To pray for the family. Who's
John DeLara? John DeLara was a NYPD emergency ESU unit, like their SWAT team. He died, and it was interesting this morning in one of our meetings. Jen Santiago, who was also she led our trip, led us on that trip out to Ground Zero from Reload Love. She said that a family member contacted her and was heartbroken because they had lost their Mercy Band.
Yeah.
With their family member's name, and they didn't have a way of, so they recreated one for that family member, which is the grandchild of one of the deceased from the towers. I think it was a firefighter, and they were able to recreate one for him. And so it's I think that's the biggest thing. And then today's a very emotional day, because last night, we know yesterday, Charlie Kirk's life was taken.
Yeah.
I don't want to take away the 9/11 families and the memorials that we need to remember for the families. I know tonight I will be staying up till probably,
yeah,
probably midnight.
Well, and I know at the White House, the president had a ceremony.
Okay.
Today, which I was happy to see. But hey, listen, if you just tuned in, we're visiting with Mark Chavez, retired AFD, and Vince Harrison, retired APD, and their experience back on September 11th, 2001. We're going to take a quick break and come back and talk a little bit more. You know, we look at, we're talking about remembering, and we're going to, you know, actually, Vince, you always are good with stats. We'll walk through some stats so people remember what a loss there was, more specifically on that date. We're going to come back and talk more on this September 11th, 2025, right after this on ABQ Connect.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Remembering today, 9/11, 2001, in studio with us, Mark Chavez, retired AFD, and Vince Harrison, retired APD. Vince, when we went to the break, I mentioned you're the stat guy. Walk us through the timeline of 24 years ago.
So, Steve, on September 11th, 2001, at 8:46 a.m., that was the Flight 11 struck the North Tower, the Trade Center in New York City. 9:03 a.m., Flight 175 from Boston to Los Angeles struck Tower 2 in the World Trade Center. I think that's when everybody started to realize that this was a real threat.
I know for me, actually, when the first one struck, I went to my history and I'm like, well, that's tragic. And I thought actually it was probably a commuter or a Piper Cub or something like that.
It looks small.
But I actually went to history in the 50s. A bomber crashed into the Empire State Building, and it was disastrous, but the building didn't come down, you know. And I thought, well, this is terrible, but they're going to be able to, you know, extinguish the flames and get past this. But like you said, Vince, the second plane hit. Yeah, I think at that point, most people are like, okay, what is going on?
Terrorist attack.
And here comes the anxiety and the, and you know, I mean, even here locally, you know, as they, when they finally got to the point where they shut down the airports, I remember, you know, I lived close to the FAA building here. You couldn't get near that place.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, the whole country really, was on lockdown. But I want to say, you know, they only had like, I don't know, a handful of fighter jets scrambled on the East Coast to handle the whole East Coast.
Yeah.
It was just, man, what is going on? But now I interrupted you. That's the second plane flying into the tower.
So 937, American Airlines Flight 77 from Dulles to Los Angeles strikes the Pentagon building. At 9:59 a.m., the South Tower collapses in approximately 10 seconds. That's unbelievable. 10:03, United Flight 93, my heroes, crashes into Shanksville, Pennsylvania. They fought. They said, let's roll, right? Let's get after it.
Yeah.
That plane was headed to the White House.
Yeah.
So they saved a lot of lives and sacrificed their lives. And at 10:28 was the North Tower at the World Trade Center collapses. The times between the collapse of the both World Trade Centers was 102 minutes. 2,900 people died, 343 firefighters, 60 police officers from NYPD and Port Authority. 184 people were on the Flight 77 that struck the building of the Pentagon. They died. 40 passengers were on Flight 93 that fought the terrorists, and they crashed into Sharksville, Pennsylvania. The average death, the average age was 2 years old to 85 years of age that died. 2 to 85 years of age. And then 75% of those were male. The cost of cleanup for the 9/11 catastrophe at Ground Zero was $750 million, 101.8 million tons of debris, and 3.1 million man hours. That was the thing that blew my mind. When we got to Ground Zero, Mark, you can confirm.
Right.
There were thousands and thousands and thousands of first responders from every country in the there's people from
Japan, it seemed like
Japan, Canada,
Mexico. Yeah.
You know, I wanted to talk about first of all, we just heard about all the first responders that we lost, these heroes who, you know, they weren't in harm's way when the planes hit. They were elsewhere in the city, whether it's Washington D.C. or New York. And they ran, drove quickly to the danger. For those that were, you know, maybe nearby that didn't die during, you know, when the planes first struck, few of them, I would imagine, you know, knew what they should do. I'm going to imagine most of them were in shock.
Mm-hmm.
Just didn't know what to do. I kind of want to focus a little bit on the first responders that go through training. They go through training, so when something occurs, they have that muscle memory, that brain memory. Practice makes permanent. You know, so they don't have to really think deeply about what the next action needs to be. They're trained and prepared. And I kind of wanted to bring that, you know, to just so we have a why for this whole conversation. In the culture that we're in, you know, the tragedies we've seen in the headlines, not just yesterday, but, you know, through COVID and riots and, you know, things that happen, as men of God and as Christians, because I'm not just speaking to the men, but our responsibility to be prepared for really anything. And the Bible is our manual for life. And if we're consuming it, we're going to be well prepared to give an answer for the faith that lies within us, if we're defending the faith, to counsel someone that's in their own, you know, we see these huge disasters, but, you know, there's micro disasters that are just as, and as first responders, you guys know that already. You've seen it in a career of people, you know, you get out on I-25 or I-40 or someone's home, or, you know, they're having just as large a trauma as people who experienced 9/11.
Exactly.
But how important it is for us, if you guys want to speak to that, and I'm speaking as a Christian, to be well prepared for what is in our path.
Well, I can speak to that a little bit.
We got about 5 minutes.
You're right. We have to be prepared for emergency situations as first responders, military men, the military, but it takes training. You have to have a commitment to the training. You have to have a commitment to do the work. Then when the 9/11 comes, when the disaster comes, you're ready. You're ready to run to the disaster instead of run away from it. And God has provided us as believers with the armor of God. And part of that armor is to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Mm-hmm. But every piece of that armor is important. And if we are lazy and don't prepare and don't train and don't be in the Word, the disasters are going to come. The trials and the fires are going to come, and we're not going to be ready. We're not going to have the answer.
You know, with some of the time we have left, I want to deal with this because I want to be very applicable to now, to today. With the ideological differences that we see in our country and with what happened yesterday, you know, I've already spoken to people that are expressed how angry they are and what they're going to do and, you know, what they feel like they want to do. And Vince, before we went on the air, you know, you mentioned, you said, Charlie Kirk, who's a lion. And you know, we think about being equipped and being prepared and being warriors, but you can be a warrior and be meek.
Well, the Bible is very specific. I mean, let's look at 2 Timothy 1:7. Talks about, for God does not give us a spirit of fear or timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. That's for Christians.
Yeah.
And we exercise that in all situations. I mean, I go back to the Ukrainian girl that was killed in that light rail in North Carolina. And she's getting stabbed, and I know that people couldn't really see what was going on, but nobody really got up and did anything. One grown man ran out of that train.
Yeah.
Finally, somebody stepped up to try to stop the bleed. But like Charlie Kirk yesterday, he's a lion, and he's out there preaching the gospel, the truth. He wasn't. I never heard him be hateful and
I was angry. Amazed how kind he could be to the snarkiness and the hate and the visceral things that were said to him, that he stood his ground and he didn't throw it back.
Spoke the truth in love.
He spoke the truth in love. And when I brought up meekness, I want to make sure, because I know you guys know meekness, when we read it, you know, often in the Bible, I don't know if it's everywhere, but I know in the Beatitudes, you know, when you hear about meekness, it's power under control.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
When if you look at, we're not talking, if when you, as Christians, we got to have a word, right? A word for those who need hope.
Yeah.
And that's Christ, because it's easy to get angry. I've never minded confrontation.
Yeah.
But I choose not to be confrontational. You choose to be, to take the high road. And as Christians, when people have they don't think like you, and you don't think like them. You agree. I don't want to say agree, disagree, but you have to think properly. How would, as a Christian, I've got to always be the one that leaves them better instead of bitter. Yeah. So how do you do that in a conversation? And I think that's what Charlie did. He tried to leave people better.
Yeah. You know, when I'm having those conversations, I've gotten to a place where, I mean, truth is truth. But I say, you know, I say to people, I cling to, trust, and rely on the truths I find in Scripture. And through that, this is what I believe. Now, I can't It's the Spirit who convicts the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. I can't change their minds, but if I'm using Scripture, we know it's alive and powerful, right? And let the Spirit do that work, but just make sure you're being an ambassador. And if anything, if again, bring Charlie Kirk back into this, I see Charlie Kirk as an ambassador for Christ. He represented Christ well. He was a man. He made mistakes. He had faults, just like you and I do. But, you know, when I go and watch the videos, how much we can learn from that. And we can learn from 9/11, if, you know, if nothing else, like I mentioned, looking at the first responders and being well prepared. We're pretty much out of time. Mark, you get 15 seconds. You want to?
Evil's real.
Yeah.
But even more real than that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. His arms are still open to the lost. Come, and I'll give you rest.
Yeah.
Never forget.
Yeah. Mark Chavez, Vince Harrison, God bless you, brothers. I appreciate you being here, the work that you've done in the past, and I know you continue to do today. So thank you. It's a privilege and honor to co-labor with you.
Thank you, brother.
All right.
Thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.